This is SB Nation Radio.
A new generation of sports radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour featuring Bill Harmon.
Good shot.
It's about time.
Hey, it is about time. I mean, I just couldn't get the ball in the hole. I wanted to, but I just couldn't do it.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour is powered by Insperity. With the golf doctor, Charlie Epps, here's your host, John Granato.
Welcome in, everybody. Back in the saddle, back here in the Quicken Loans studio in Houston, in the Gal building with Charlie Epps and Bill Harmon. Boy, it's good to be back with you guys. How you doing?
Johnny, we always need our leader back.
Well, we would love to be here. Bill, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, John. And I must say that when you're away, there's a big difference between a professional and then two golf pros trying to do what he does. Right, Charlie?
What?
He's a pro. Yeah.
Well, at least he included himself.
Right. I did include myself.
He was about to really zing
me. No, I did include myself. There's a big difference.
There's a big difference.
This is his business, and he's very good at it. We miss you, John.
I appreciate that.
Don't be
that.
So sensitive, Charlie. It's a long show, pal.
I just started. Here we go.
I'm so used to he and his...
I wasn't even getting on him, and he thought I was. Boy.
I knew it was coming.
It is awesome to be back here with you guys. The stories flying here. And, what a great time. It really is a great time for golf. While I think the golf in the Olympics is really overshadowed, and certainly it deservedly so, especially the way the Americans are playing, with the way the swimmers are performing, with the way the gymnasts are performing. You know, golf has taken a back seat. Your guys' impression, though, so far of what's going on with golf?
I really like the whitewater rafting.
That's what you're all about at the Olympics?
I think golf is great. It should be right where it is. My only recommendation in 4 years is that the only golf tournament on the weekend of Olympic golf is that, and that's it. Everybody else should take the week off, go take a vacation, highlight Olympic golf. I think it's so great, and I'm so happy they're there. I hope it continues.
What do you think so far, Bill?
I've enjoyed it. I think I said last week, you know, I'm not really a soccer fan, but during the Olympics and the World Cup, I become a soccer fan because I realize what it means to these other countries. I think the Olympics has great meaning to the other countries for the golfers. As of now, it doesn't have much traction here in the United States, but I think we should take a lesson from the other countries. You hear all these guys, even, you know, Henrik Stenson, who could be the best player in the world at the moment, you could say. You see him over there grinding. They all talk about what it would mean to them to have an Olympic medal.
Mm-hmm.
I think tomorrow is going to be quite exciting when these guys are fighting for a medal, not a check, for a medal. They might tweak the format. I think I'd like to see two-man teams somehow, some way. But I think it's been great. I think the course has been stood up very nicely. I've watched it from start to finish every day. I've found it to be, and I wasn't really into it, to be honest with you, at the start, but I've got the Olympic spirit going, and I've found it to be very, very intriguing.
Would it be better match play?
Could be. That's possible, you know, which is kind of what all the other sports are doing. They're eliminating somebody with all their different trials. You always hate the risk of running a Stenson out of there early or something. I'd like to see two-man teams somehow, some way, even if it were match play, two-man team.
How about the first two rounds is qualifying?
Fine.
And then the last 2 days or 3 days or whatever?
Go to the low 16.
You play matches. Low 16 and go from there.
But I think all of those things are all doable. Whatever tweaks that they have to make will be very easy, very simple. But I think for the most part, I really wonder if Jordan Spieth wishes he wasn't there.
You better believe it, he does.
Yeah.
Some of the other ones maybe not, but I think Jordan Spieth.
What did Johnny Miller say? He's only seen two mosquitoes all week.
Yeah.
What did Dustin Johnson? I saw a picture of him. He and Paulina out on his boat. When people got on him, said, "Oh, really? You're out there with Paulina on your boat instead of?" And Paulina came back at him on Twitter. It got ugly. Hey, he made that decision not to go. That's his decision.
I'm fine with that.
That's fine. Yeah.
You know, we all have regrets in life, but I think, you know, it's they've done a good job. I think the golf course is fantastic. Gil Hance has did an incredible job under trying circumstances.
Very unbelievable. Trying. I don't know if you guys saw that show on the Golf Channel, what it took to. Yes. And the other architects that he had to beat out to get the job.
Yes.
A heck of a story. And you certainly come out of that story having a greater respect for Gil Hance. I already respected him. But
and the early
I have a
stories,
much better respect for him now.
All the early stories were, it's not going to be done. It's going to be bad. It's going to be, and it was a big, big. Now, the clubhouse is really, really ugly. But that being said, he did a hell of a job on the course.
I like the mascot. I think that rodent would make a good logo.
Holy
cow. I actually do think it would make a good logo. That's gotten more airtime than Henrik Stenson has.
Oh, my God. How'd you like to run across that thing?
How about old Bubba getting upset every other shot with somebody in the gallery and stuff? He just can't help himself, can he? Poor guy.
Yeah, last week, too. Remember he got on the guy?
But you know, if you go to Rio de Janeiro, it's possible when you go to some of these places, not everybody knows what the golf etiquette is.
Yeah.
You know that going in.
Why not?
So zip it up. Let your caddy do it. Let your caddy sit.
Well, he didn't even take his caddy. He's got a buddy on his bag.
Well, his caddy doesn't like needles.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
No.
Yeah, didn't want all the shots.
He didn't want to get a shot.
Didn't want the shots.
Oh
you got to get the shots.
Yes, you do.
You got to get
that Zika.
Well, not only that, but you got to get that shots if you're going to go in canoeing in those waters. Holy crap.
But it's all come out pretty good. I think, you know, there hadn't been many bad stories.
No.
I liked it, one story about you should take two money clips. One money clip, you have 25 $1 bills.
Right.
And the other money clip, you got your big. So if they come up and rob you, you throw them the money clip with $25.
Good idea.
But any foreign country, I mean, be honest with you, when you move that many people for a month, it's an incredible undertaking. And it's neat. I love the cycling. Well, you know, riding through the mountains of Brazil.
They're not loving it with the accidents. Oh my goodness!
They're going down like flies. Yeah. But overall, I think it's great, and hopefully it continues.
Yeah.
I love Gary Player. You know, he's the coach, but he's in the Olympic Village, and he's taking it all in. I mean, he is. You know, now that he's an athlete, he's always been an athlete all his life, but. It's fun.
I'm on an email list where Ian Baker Finch every day emails a bunch of his friends his thoughts. He's the coach of the Australian team. It's really, really good. They're having a great time. I found it interesting that the Americans don't have some kind of coach.
Oh, they don't?
No. They're all going solo.
Huh.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. Who would put that together?
I don't know.
You know,
but they could have gotten a Steve Stricker or somebody just to babysit a little bit. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but you'd be surprised the questions that the captains get at the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup. Charlie's been in those rooms.
Well, yeah.
You'd be surprised. Some of these guys need a little help.
Marcus Fraser, Graham DeLette.
What a great story Marcus Fraser is.
How about that?
Five guys from Australia said, no, I don't want to go, you know. Wouldn't it be great if he won?
He won.
63.
How about that?
Just great.
Henrik Stenson, Thomas Peters.
Boy, does he look good.
Justin Rose playing well. The hole in one. Alex Chayka. And our best are Matt Kuchar at 2-under. We've also got Patrick Reed +1, Bubba +2, and Ricky +5. Just not playing well.
Ricky, he took it all in. He went down for the first, you know, this opening ceremonies.
Which was great.
He played a golf course that was completely different than the one on Thursday. So his speed got really off. The first 5 or 6 days, those greens were running about 6. And then and he four-putted the first hole, and it's been downhill ever since.
Yeah.
But he's enjoyed it. I'm not sure about that haircut, but he has enjoyed the Olympics the way you should.
Yeah. Hey, but that's been Ricky all year long, hasn't it?
Yes.
I mean,
he's a kid.
We thought he was supposed to take a big step, he hasn't.
I texted Butch the other day and asked him about what was going on. He said he's really lost all confidence with his putter.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he'd gone to cross-handed.
I saw that this morning for the first time.
Yeah, I saw it the other day. I said, whoa, because I like this stroke.
I didn't know what I was looking at.
He had a nice little kind of old-school pop stroke before.
Because he hit that third green in one and almost made eagle, so he started off 2-under after the first three. I don't know how he stands now.
Last I saw, five over. That's the last. It's hard to get up there. It's hard to even find the women's. It's
really, well, they start next week.
That's
why it's hard.
Oh, no wonder. No wonder I couldn't find their scores.
I've got the app.
We miss your professionalism, John.
Oh, all right. Well, here we are. That's one round in the books here at the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance right here on the SB Radio Nation. Don't go anywhere.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, John Granato.
All right, back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. An update: Marcus Fraser is 10, Thomas Peters 9, Henrik Stenson 8. But here comes Ricky Fowler. As we were just talking about him, got an update on him. 29 on the front, guys, today. He's 2 under for the tournament and making a charge. Maybe too little too late. We'll see. Those guys are way out in front. Still 8 strokes behind.
27 holes left.
But he stepped up.
Yep.
You know?
He certainly has. That's an incredible outgoing score of 6 under. Shoots in the 20s. I've done that a couple times.
Of course you have.
Yeah.
So that's awfully neat. And finally, some American, Americans showing up. Matt Kuchar just teed off, so good to see him out there. He's 3 under. Let's see if he can't make a charge. But those guys are playing really, really well. Who you guys got? The favorite has to be Stenson on the weekend, doesn't it?
You would think it would be him. But I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say this, Thomas Peters. What I didn't realize, he won the NCAA individual at Riviera.
Yes.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yep.
But when I was watching him yesterday, you know, this is one of those players we don't get to see much because he doesn't play much in America.
European Tour.
Beautiful swing. And he's the guy that had one of the best club breaks in the British Open at Troon on the 11th hole. Boy, that was... There was no buffer from the brain to the action there, boy. He snapped that thing so quick. So I liked him just because of that. He's a good club breaker.
Very good. And he threw it right into those bushes.
Oh, it was
Remember,
great.
It was awesome.
I loved it.
Loved it.
But he is one of the casualties of no tour school.
Yeah, you're right.
Bruce always harped about that. You know, they have no way to get on tour. You know, the old tour school, the end of the year, you know, they put in 15 guys or stuff like that, and this guy so stuck over in Europe and can't get on over here, but he's a good-looking kid.
Well, he is a real good-looking player. So I want to go out on a limb. I think Stenson, though, is the obvious choice, but I'll go out with Peters.
And at the same time, we got the John Deere going on. That one's owned by Zach Johnson, although he's right there, but this is usually where he shines. This is Wesley.
How about Wesley Bryan?
Wesley Bryan. How about this?
One of the stories in golf.
A trick shot artist.
Just won his third web.com. Yep. So he graduated to the PGA Tour. And now he's leading, I believe. Mm-hmm. I know they had a lot of rain yesterday. Right. How about that?
Yep. Great story. Great golf. I mean, if they ever get that tournament finished with the weather they're having. You know, Angel is still trying to finish.
You know, Charlie, if they
round.
Had a tour school, Wesley Bryan might have got on there a little bit earlier.
That's right. So Bruce was right. Hey, Bruce, if you're listening.
Well, he's there now, right? He earned his way up there.
That's right.
Yes,
sometimes
did.
You got to toil.
Yeah.
You got to toil in the minors until
kinda
it's
like
your turn.
Charlie did in his career. That's from right. Toledo to Argentina. You know, right.
In business, I don't know. A lot of times you have to work your way up the ladder for corporations.
Charlie's been the pro at every country club in Houston.
That's
right.
Now. Yeah. Worked his
Variety
way
Variety is the spice of life.
That's right.
But then the senior.
Yeah, senior open.
Open. Great tournament at a great golf course.
Sayota.
And the nicest guy in the Senior Champions Tour, Joey Sindelar, is leading.
Joey, is he a nice guy?
Yes.
The nicest.
Yes.
He went to Ohio State, which is right there in Columbus.
The Ohio State University. Billy Mayfair is right there as well. Miguel Angel Jimenez up there. Some good names. So the Senior Open Championship. Senior, U.S. Senior Open Championship. Underway. I want to talk. This guy, John Rahm. Well, we got a little deal where we pick seven golfers every week, and you almost got to pick him now almost every week. You finish in the top 15, and it pays. And this dude is up there around leaderboards, isn't he?
Another Spaniard coming out of, you know, of the shadow of Ballesteros and the guys and Garcia. This guy.
Arizona State guy, right?
Arizona yeah. State, successful, made a couple cuts when he was an amateur, and he's come out strong. What happened?
Two top threes already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's saying something. When you're just coming out there on the tour to be competing with these guys.
What happened to DeChambeau? He came out real hot and everything, and now all of a sudden he disappeared.
Well, right? I think, Charlie, when good players are playing good, the golfing public thinks that golf is automatic.
Yeah.
Golf is not automatic. And, you know, you shoot 141 in a college event, you're in the top 10.
Yeah.
You shoot 141 on the tour, you might miss the cut. And so pro golf is hard, boy, and you got to prove yourself every week. He's got a lot of pressure on him. You know, he brought a lot of attention on himself.
Yep.
But with his good play. A lot of his attention was because he won the Amateur and NCAA in the same year. I think only five players have ever done that. So he brought a lot of attention on himself. And golf, you got to perform every shot, every swing, every week. And the PGA Tour is tough, boy. And if you can't handle suffering, pro golf ain't for you.
Well, and that's why, you know, Charlie, we were talking about that before the show started about how hard it is and getting started and all of this stuff. And DeChambeau, you talk about him, and he may be playing just fine and yet missing a couple of putts or whatever is going on with him, which makes this John Rahm story even better because he is just starting and he is, you know, if you're up at near the top of the leaderboard, everybody's, well, he hasn't won anything yet. Yep. Okay. Go ahead and try and finish third out there.
Well, I think he's made two checks over $400,000 already, yeah. And what I get from John Rahm is he's always talking about winning. Mm-hmm. He's not talking about being satisfied. So I think he's one of these players that is he's a hothead, which I like a little bit. He demands a lot of himself, and he's demanding a lot of himself on the world's biggest stage. So he's not content. And those are the players.
He's not intimidated, that's
for
sure.
Not at all. Nope.
You say that, Bill, and we see Jordan Spieth this year, and we see that he's got some temper in him and everything. And everybody says, "Well, look, he's different. You know, he's too hot headed." And we've seen that with other players as well. There's a line, isn't there, somewhere?
My dad even said he never met a good player yet that didn't have a temper.
Attitude. You're down
so
right.
You can't be a good player and like bad shots. It just doesn't go that way. Mm. All of these guys hate bad shots. And Charlie will tell you this. You know, Tiger always got a bad rap for swearing. If you put a microphone around every player on the tour, they're all swearing. Every one of them swearing.
Curtis Strange.
So every one of them. Mm-hmm. Every one of them is swearing. So I think most good players demand a lot from themselves. And it's hard to play at that level and enjoy bad shots. It just doesn't go that. Doesn't work that way.
So you, in other words, if you're a poor sport like Hope Solo, then that's a good thing. That like that.
There's a difference. See, I don't see having a temper as being a poor sport. Personally,
John, you just come out with some.
That was a good one, though. Yeah. She can't seem to help herself either.
She is a brain surgeon. That one.
Boy, oh boy.
How'd you like the reaction with the swimmer when he won that race and
Phelps and he did the wag?
Yeah.
And he wagged his
and he
finger.
Ended up hugging the guy that was boxing.
Well, yeah, that's good, yeah.
But that's fun, yeah. You know, that's
Lily King,
fun.
She might have gone overboard calling out every athlete that's ever done anything, got caught. But, you know, so, yeah, she went after that girl and she beat her, and good for her. Hope Solo a little bit different. That's not good. Hope Solo, keep your mouth shut. That's embarrassing to you, the U.S. But here we are. And we're heading towards halftime of the, or at least the cut. We're going to see if we made the cut here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on the new SB Nation, Charlie.
That's really good, John.
And it's brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance, and InternationalProAm.com. When we come back, why don't you tell the people how they can get to Puerto Vallarta.
And a free margarita.
And a free margarita is on the line next right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, John Granato.
All right. 31 past round three here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance, and International Pro-Am, Charlie.
The ultimate trip, 5 through the 12th of December, the 5th through the 12th. 72-hole Pro-Am, one pro, four amateurs. Bring four buddies, husband and wife, couples, however you want to do it, but meet me in Puerto Vallarta. Go on to PuertoVallartaProAm.com, get all the information. Jackie Sitton, who is the chairman, and her husband, Billy, have run this tournament for 27 years in Puerto Vallarta. It's beautiful. It's safe. Casa Magna Marriott, where we stay, is excellent. Great people who will make your hospitality just the finest of its kind. Three great golf courses, a Nicklaus golf course, a Wise golf. It's got, you know, it looks like a jungle, but you're overlooking the Pacific Ocean.
Beautiful.
It's just beautiful. The weather the first week in December is perfect. So join me. I'll see you at the Casa Magna Marriott, and I'll buy you your first margarita. You'll have a great time, I look forward to seeing you.
Hey, John, doesn't Charlie look a little bit like Ricky Fowler here with his hair, too?
What do you got going
on? You got a pompadour going.
Wind blown. Looks like you're out there on the Pacific right now.
Ricky Fowler.
This is the longest I've ever had my hair.
That's unbelievable.
Well, I can assure you this is the shortest mine.
Yeah. I'm doing it in reverse honor of Billy, but I'm going to have
a... I got that haircut where everybody looks at me and says, you've got cancer, don't you? Actually, I do, you know. Thank you.
I'm gonna have a ponytail.
You're looking good, Charlie. Looking good. All right. Hey, we haven't mentioned Jim Furyk, 58. On a par, okay, I don't know. Is 12 under better than 13 under?
Well,
without two par fives.
I have a standard answer for these types of things. I never really like these discussions on who's the best, you know, because if we say who's better, Tiger or Jack, we've got to probe and find the negative. So how do you find the negative in the lowest round in the history of the PGA Tour? So why can't we just say, I think most people would tell you the two best rounds ever are Guy Berger's 59 and Jim's 58. And Guy Berger's 59 was shot on a course that you cannot shoot 59 on. I've been there. Mm-hmm. It was 7,200 yards long. Guy Berger averaged 244 off the tee. Think about that. So it was a persimmon. And it was a very awkward course. You ever been there?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
It was not easy course stretch of the imagination. So his 59, to me, was shot on a course that you couldn't shoot 59. Now, there's been a bunch of 60s, 61s, and 2s shot at Hartford. Jay Haas said yesterday there were not a bunch of 60s, 61s, and 2s shot at Colonial. Having said all that, it's the lowest round in the history of the PGA Tour, and that alone should let it stand on itself.
Does it matter that he was out of it? Like, for example, I think Stenson's round at the Open was probably the greatest round. That well, you could
I think you could argue that it was the greatest ball striking round anybody ever saw. Some people would tell you that David Graham's round at Marion in the last group on Sunday hit every fairway, every green, but he shot 67, not 60. Miller shot 63, but I think the same day Lanny shot 65. So it's hard to say. I just think when a guy shoots the lowest round in the history of the PGA Tour, I got to just tip my hat off.
David Duval's 59 to win the tournament.
Win the tournament. Now that's a different deal, too.
He has to eagle the last hole.
Yeah, and to win the tournament.
They're all great.
Right.
They're all great.
For example, when we talk about MVPs in any other sport, did you make the playoffs? How good was your team? Because if you did it on a crappy team.
Right.
And I'm not saying Jim Furyk, it didn't matter, but it certainly wasn't the pressure that Henrik Stenson was in.
And there's no doubt about that.
Or that David Duval was under.
But he's 46. That's a hell of a round by
the analytics. I know some people on Facebook that are number crunchers. And from a statistical standpoint, Guy Berger's round, given the length of the course, the equipment.
What everybody else was shooting?
Everything else and all that stuff was shooting. They say Guy Berger's round was the best score ever shot, considering all those factors of the day, what everybody else was shooting, the equipment. That course was the equivalent of 8,000 yards long today that he shot.
Interesting stat
on. But
there.
Not only but that, it was a difficult course, but a weird course, had weird holes. So yeah. There's just no way. 69 was a good score on that course.
Who was it shot at Torrey Pines? The wind was blowing sideways, and he won.
Snedeker.
Yeah. That might be one of the greater rounds
shot
ever.
69.
Compared to what everybody else shot.
Tom Parr was about 80 under at Muirfield when the wind chill was 13 degrees.
Yeah.
I caddied that day.
Yeah.
I can tell you
that
was unbelievable. I think the average score was 79. So a lot of times it's not the score. It's the score matched up with the
against
situation.
Right.
And I think you're right, John. We will look back on Stenson's round, and it'll be more glamorous than Furyk's round because it was head-to-head with one of the all-time great players who was, by the way, shooting 65. But it was the quality of the shots that he hit. He hit more iron shots that day where he just turned around and handed the club to the cat.
Yeah, right.
Which is really cool.
Right. But and in that respect, when you look at that, so many people talk about baseball. Babe Ruth hit more home runs in a season than a lot of teams did.
Right.
So comparatively speaking, what he did, what Snedeker did that day, what Guyberger did on that course, those are, you know, it's hard to say which one is the greatest ever.
Nicklaus's 65 to win the Masters in 86 at the age of 46, great round of golf. But the comment that I like what Jim said after the 58 is the last putt, I couldn't feel my hands.
Yeah.
But,
you know, it's so hard to compare eras. Matt Scherzer, great pitcher.
Yeah.
The year before he signed the big contract with the Nationals, he pitched his very first complete game. Sandy Koufax pitched 54 complete games his last two seasons.
54.
His last two.
This guy had one in his whole career.
Right.
So who's better, Scherzer or Koufax?
Well,
I'm taking Sandy.
Baby. Well, yeah, I guess.
Koufax, you look at both of his arms, and one was double the size as the other. And that curveball that
hands
he would.
His were so big you couldn't believe it.
I mean, the curveball, I sat behind home plate couple times up in San Francisco, and they were playing Juan Marichal and watching him pitch.
Yeah.
I mean, that ball, it looked like it was coming from third base.
That was a real rivalry.
Oh my God.
That's when Johnny Roseborough got hit on the head. Yeah. Marichal hit him on the head with a bat.
You may be the first person, though, that ever asked who's better, Sandy Koufax or Max Scherzer, because that is not a fair fight.
We're comparing eras, though.
Right, right.
So how do you compare the eras? Because they play a different game now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it was a different game back then, obviously. But that was really, really a neat – and it's great for Jim Furyk. And oh, by the way, that's not his – Jim Furyk can go low now.
You know what I liked about it more than anything, and no one really brought this up? He played bad Saturday.
Yeah.
He said, even though I had the next week off, I didn't want to mail it in on Sunday because Jim Furyk's a professional golfer. Charlie knows there's a lot of guys in Jim Furyk's situation that would have gone right back to the hotel, said, forget this, I don't care what I shoot tomorrow. Jim Furyk does care what he shoots tomorrow.
Well, when
consummate pro.
The most impressive thing that I've ever, not, I've seen a lot of stuff, but the year he was paired with Angel at the Masters and he missed the cut, and the next Saturday, in the Saturday morning, we get out to the practice tee, and who's there? Jim Furyk.
Because he just wants to get better, yeah. Yep.
I mean, so he's an impressive – his career, $70 million, great family. I mean, he really has you know, he hasn't won a Ryder Cup.
He's a perfect gentleman.
Yep. Yeah.
He is. He's a wonderful guy.
His dad's a golf pro. Yep. You know, his dad's taught him well. I mean,
I think the world of him. I really do.
He takes ownership to the swing, and he takes
ownership of everything.
Yeah.
And – I mean, from when you watch him the very first time and you see everybody else, you're like, how is this guy, right? And he has made, what a career he has made with that swing.
So Charlie and I are old enough to know that back when we started loving golf, a lot of guys had weird swings, Gabe Brewers and Miller Harbors. So we grew up kind of looking at slashers and weed whackers and all kinds of different
things. Yeah, absolutely. All right, we got three rounds in. Our final round is coming up next right here on SB Nation Radio. It's the Charlie Ups.
The This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, John Granato.
All right, back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance, right here on the SB Radio Nation. All right, guys, here we go. We're coming down the stretch, and we got some golf to play. But let's look at this Ryder Cup standings. Dustin is in. Jordan's going to be in. Phil's going to be in. Jimmy Walker with his win. Great for him. Brooks Koepka is in fifth. Zach Johnson, sixth. J.B. Holmes and Patrick Reed are eight. He's eight right now. But there's still some golf to be played. Brant Snedeker, Bubba Watson, Matt Kuchar, Ricky Fowler, 12th. Scott Piercy, Bill Haas is 14th right now. Daniel Berger is a name. He kind of faded last week on Sunday. Wish he would have stepped up. That would have been nice for Davis Love III to see a young guy step up like that. And then he could have said, "Well, that's the kind of guy."
Yeah, I actually thought that was a very big round for Daniel Berger. Now, just watching the kid, he's got a lot of giddy up. And so I think I wouldn't be surprised if he came back and played well. Would you, Charlie?
He's a good player.
He had a bad day at the wrong time.
And he handled it correctly.
He handled it very good. You know, it's a learning experience. I didn't have it. I didn't play well. Got what I just
said. That's right. Jim Furyk is 18th, guys. And there's a guy with experience. What's his record?
I think they got to go with fresh stuff.
You want to go with young guys.
You got to go with the young guys. And they've proven they can play. And the Europeans, their team, their young guys have always stepped up.
Mm-hmm.
So let them play. You know, get those fresh nerves.
I think Davis has a lot of things to factor in. And unfortunately, some of them are probably emotional because he's played on teams with Jim. You know, he loves Jim. They were co-captains of the President's Cup team last year. So sometimes it's hard to take 25 or 30 years of a love and respect for a guy who wouldn't be a bad choice, by the way. You couldn't say
what Lanny did with Curtis.
And so I think he has some difficulty because he is so connected with these players. I factor in something kind of odd. Davis saw how Bill Haas played the last six holes with the President's Cup on the line. More pressure on him than maybe anybody with his dad as the captain and the whole President's Cup on the line. Because Davis and I were the two that kind of drove Bill in those last six holes. How do you factor that in if Bill is 12th or 13th? Well, geez, I saw the guy.
He got lucky.
Win the President's Cup. You know, so I think there's so many things. Everybody, well, you got to pick Ricky. Why? Well, Ricky's Ryder Cup record isn't that good, and his President's Cup record is abysmal.
Yeah.
Matt Kuchar's President's Cup record is like 1-9. So a lot of these guys that we think are automatic picks,
right,
if you dig a little bit deeper, they don't have tremendous records in team play, but nobody has a good Ryder Cup record because we get beat every year.
Well, and it's funny. I mean, other than Furyk, you know, and how far do you go down? I mean, if it's Tiger Woods that's sitting there at 25 for whatever reason, you go, well, I got to have Tiger Woods on this team. Not now, but you understand what I'm saying. There's really nobody back there. And how far do you go down without everybody saying, what happened?
If this guy plays good at all in the FedEx Cup, I'm picking Daniel Summerhays. He finished top five in both the U.S. Open and the PGA, but both tournaments he had great Sundays.
He's proven.
Charlie, you said that last week. Not only that, he was knocking it stiff.
That's right.
And don't think there's not a lot of pressure on a young guy when he's third or fourth in a U.S. Open or a PGA, that back nine. And he acted like he'd been there, and he played beautifully. And so I would love to see him make a really out-of-the-box pick, just something that nobody expected, nobody.
Yeah.
And Summerhays, if you look at his record in the majors, pretty darn good, boy.
He's 20th right now.
Yeah.
And do you pass up a Ricky Fowler at 12 to take a Daniel Summerhays?
Well, there
and
you
know,
go.
You know what? He opens himself up to a lot of criticism if he does that, right? But that's what you're there for.
Well, I know for a fact that Jay Haas was texting Phil Mickelson for a year. Please just play good 1 week so I can pick you for the President's Cup. And Phil didn't do it, by the way, but Jay still picked him because in his gut, that's who he wanted, and Phil was the leader of the team.
Yeah. FedEx Cup. Guys, it's so hard for the average guy to understand the FedEx Cup, but we're coming down the stretch here with this thing. And it's big. I mean, that will factor into Davis Love's choice, won't it?
Well, I like the FedEx Cup because I like the elimination part of it. You know, they start with 125, and they eliminate 25 the first tournament, and then they eliminate 30 the next, I think, to go to low 70, and then they go to the low 30. So as a fan, I like the elimination. So when we're watching the telecast, we're going to say, okay, this guy's got to bury the last hole to move on to the next event. I also like it because Bill Haas won it. See, I like that.
$10 million check.
And he went into the tournament at Eastlake maybe 25th or 6th and ended up winning the whole deal. So I like that part of it. But I like the FedEx Cup, and I think it adds a little something to it.
I think if you look at the top 30 going into the playoffs, somebody from out of that top 30 are going to distinguish themselves and be picked onto the Ryder Cup. I don't know who that
is going to be, but the
top 30, that I don't think you want to go any further back than that, John.
What I would love to see is at the end, in the semifinal, the second to last tournament, the top 30 guys, and even the tournament before, the top 60 guys, you guys advance. Because in every other sport, it didn't matter if you finished first or you were a wild card. If you won the game, you moved on. If you lost the game, you moved on. If you finish in the top 30, you're going to be in the final tournament. If not, you're out. I don't care where you finish during the regular season. So we can't skip tournaments too, by the way. You know, that number one player, you guys got to go play. Go play. Instead of, I'm going to take it off because I'm leading the FedEx standings at the end of the regular season.
I've said that from day one. If you take a tournament off,
you're out.
Yourself
beat it.
Out of here.
Yeah.
You
got to win to advance. Get in that
Plus
top 60.
It's a slap in the face to FedEx.
It really is.
Sponsor. I've said that. You owe something to the game, and sometimes you owe something to the sponsor.
And it makes me mad.
Yeah. We're done.
Me too, by the way.
We're done. What a great final round we had, guys.
Get back.
All right. We were Jim Furyk there in that final round. We're
Johnny.
Done.